A bit of a Clarion Bold morning, I think, this morning. Jess leading worship. My dad's actually preaching Littleport this morning, so we're all kind of in action, as it were. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas. It seems strange that we haven't been together since Christmas Eve. I thought that both services Martin and Tim put together were just brilliant, weren't they? They were just fantastic. And I hope you had a good week. Some of you probably been back to work, some of you may have had the week off, but whatever, I hope, whatever situation you're in, you've had a really good week and a good Christmas. 2017 has been a bit of a weird one, I think, isn't it, in terms of a year with kind of everything that's going on, including stuff like Manchester and the London Bridge attack. I don't think I've ever known a year quite like it. And not I've been on the earth for very long. You know, I think it's just been a very unique one. And for me, just quite an exciting year, but then I know a lot for people here would be, this year has been really difficult. And I pray as we move forward in 2018 that you'll know God's blessing on your life and that you'll see fruit from the work that you've put in and everything that you gain from the Lord. And I pray that 2018 will be a real blessed year for us as a church. I do believe 2018 is going to be a really exciting year for us as a church. You know, I know God's kind of been stirring something, I believe, this year in church. You know, you can just feel it, can't you, in our worship times and the words that have been given. God's just been amazing to us as a church. And know people from other churches, they're saying the same thing in Milnhall and Ely. God's just moving, he's stirring, and it's so exciting to see what's going to be happening in 2018, and I'm excited, and I hope you are too. Today, this morning, my title of this morning is Here I Am, Use Me. And I really want that to be a prayer as we move into the next year. I want that to be something that's on our hearts as we kind of leave this building, as we kind of finish up the ark tonight, as we leave the ark this evening. I'd love us to have in our hearts and to pray, God, here I am, use me, please, for your glory. And I'd love us to be a church that pray that every morning next year, because I believe God will use us. He does want to use you. You are gifted, and he wants to enable you and use us. I don't know what kind of person you are for me. I really want to be a useful person. I don't really like just sitting down. I enjoy being busy, and I want to be useful to people, and I want to be useful to God, and I'm eager to be useful for God in the new year, more than maybe than I've been this year. But one thing we need to really nail, I think, if we're going to be ever used by God, is obedience. And actually, that's where we're going to be looking at this morning. It's going to be obedience. And how obedient we are to God. If God said to you, go to another country to work for him, a bit like Martin and Judy, would you do it? Would you go? If God said to you, I want you to give some money to this person, even if you're in financial difficulty, would you do it? If God gave you a word of knowledge for someone or a picture, it could be someone that you know, it could be someone that you don't know, would you do it? Would you give it to them? Would you be obedient to what God is calling you to do? And I realised, actually, my dad did a preach on obedience a few months ago, but I think it's just something that's been in my heart and I want to share this morning, and that's why I'm kind of looking at it. And for those that read UCB, they did a brilliant 6 days on doing what God tells you to do. It was really good, and it really encouraged me. And it really, I know a lot of you read UCB, and you probably actually, a lot of you may have read it, but I kind of wanted to not copy what they've put, but actually to dig a bit deeper into what they've, what they kind of put and what they said, the points they kind of came across, and how it's relevant to us as a church, and how it's relevant to us in 2018. It spoke about a few things regarding obedience, including the fact that how obedience is so powerful, it can change the lives of others, the people around us. It spoke about how the small acts of obedience that, well, if we are obedient to God and we think it's a small thing, actually God sees it as a huge thing, and he sees it as a massive thing in his eyes. It says when you're obedient to God, he will always be with you and he will always be next to you through the times he's asked you to do something. And it spoke about the blessings and the favour he pours out on us when we're obedient and pours out favour on us when we're obedient to him. And there's a lot more power to obedience than I think we know and we realise. And I think once we get our heads around it, once we realise how important being obedient is, then I believe we'll see great things happen. I really do. And there's a few people we could have taken from the Bible who were obedient to God. And probably the most famous, story to preach on would probably have been Jonah. But I'm not necessarily looking at Jonah, and I'm not actually necessarily looking at a scripture today, as it were, but I'm hoping to reference different people that were used by God because they're obedient to his calling. And the three people I had down was Moses, Abraham, and Noah. And they're kind of the kind of obvious ones you would think, but I think we can, even though we kind of know the story as well, I believe it's still alive, isn't it, today, and we can still gain loads from it. So first of all, God loves our willingness. He loves our attitude and our heart just to go for whatever he says. He loves to have us to kind of be a servant to him, to say, actually, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. When Noah built the ark, in Genesis 6:22, it says, "So Noah did everything exactly how God told him to do. He was a man close fellowship with God. He was a man hungry after God's will. He wanted to see his plan fulfill, and he realized that to do that, he had to be obedient to what God had called him to do. And this is something, personally, I need to be better at. I know I want to be more willing. I want to be more, I want to have an attitude of whatever God tells me to do, I want to do it. Certainly more. I want that to grow into next year. For those that went away to Naturally Supernatural, you would have... you would have heard Mike Pavacci talk, and not quite yet, we're going to watch a clip from him in a minute, but not quite yet, but he kind of is on a bit of a journey, he would say, and the last few years he would say that he's kind of found a way that God is speaking to him a lot, and he would have a thought that would just drop into his mind, and he would kind of think, oh, this isn't kind of my thought, and he kind of goes by the rule is, if I say it, someone can meet with Jesus. If I say it, someone can meet with Jesus. And even if I get it wrong, like he says, nobody dies. And I think if we've got a word of knowledge for someone, if we've got a picture, if we've got to say something to someone, then actually that might be a good kind of rule to have in our heads to actually think that we can't lose in that situation. Just go for it. Just be obedient and to see where God takes you in it. We need to be more willing to do whatever God wants us to do. That's a lot easier said than done, though, isn't it? It can be really tricky. And before I worked at High Street, a lot of you know I worked at TK Maxx. And in my early days at TK Maxx, I was in the staff room. A lot of you may know this story, but I just feel it's important to share. I was in a staff room with two of my colleagues, and one was a kind of a girl my age, and one was a kind of a lady, and just said really as I said, an older senior lady, and they were just talking. I was just having my lunch, and they were just talking, and this girl said, we'll call her Sheila because I don't want to name her. But she said, "I'm really having real problems with sleeping at the moment. I can't sleep. It's happened for a few weeks now. I don't know what it is. I just can't sleep." And it's just something that's just really kind of driving me crazy. And I feel really tired. I come to work every morning, just exhausted. And they were just talking amongst themselves, and I was kind of just listening in. It wasn't a private conversation. And the lady left. And I just continued to talk to Sheila, and we just talked about life. It wasn't necessarily about anything. And I felt in my heart, God say to me, "George, you need to pray for that girl." And you know, in that kind of, you feel God saying something to you, and you've kind of got that battle in your head, whether you think it's right or wrong. And I'm like, God, I can't. Could I get sacked? What would she say to other people? What kind of effect would it have on? What kind of effect would it have? And we kept talking, and the more my heart was banging to pray for this girl. So I said, I'm really sorry. I was listening to your conversation. I really feel, she knew I was a Christian. I just feel like I need to pray for you. Is that okay? And she said, yeah, that's fine. And I kind of worded it in the way that I didn't have to pray in front of her, like I could pray at home, just so I didn't have to pray in front of her. And she said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. And then we kept on talking, and God didn't drop it. And he was like, no, you need to pray for her now. Okay, so I'm like, okay. So I said, I know this sounds really crazy, but would you mind if I pray for you now? And she's like, yeah, sure. And I think she was a bit taken back by it. And I said, well, you don't need to do anything special. I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm just going to say a short prayer. And she had a cup of tea, I remember, because I said, you can just keep drinking your cup of tea. Just feel comfortable as you want. I'm just going to say a prayer. And I can't remember what it was, but something along the lines of, thank you that you love Sheila. I want to thank you that you have a plan for her life. But Lord, you know exactly why she's not sleeping at the moment. And Lord, I pray tonight she will have the best night's sleep she's ever had. Amen. And I went home and I spoke to Jess about it. And then went in the next day and we were praying. And she was in the staff room. And I said, Sheila, how did you sleep? And I was really expecting, I kind of believed something was going to really happen and revival was going to sweep around TK Maxx. And she said to me, George, I'm really sorry. And I felt, she actually felt quite sorry for me, but she was like, she almost kind of wanted it to work, but actually our step wasn't the best night's sleep at all. It was kind of the worst night's sleep I've ever had. And I know, and my heart sank. And I just thought, what was that all about? And you know what? I think it was God trying to see how obedient I'd be and how willing I'd be to him. And it's so, so difficult. And that was just an example when I've actually done it. I can give you tons of examples of when I haven't done it and I've walked away regretting not doing anything about it. God loves to see our willingness. And I actually believe that prayer, it may have been a really short prayer and a really, to her maybe some nothing, but I actually believe that prayer was a landmark in her life. And I really believe there's going to be one day she's going to look back at that prayer, not for my glory, but for his glory. She's going to look back at that prayer and go, that was when I first encountered God. And I truly believe that. It can be difficult when we've done something that God's asked us to do and we don't see the fruit from it. And it can be really, really difficult. It can affect our faith and it can affect who we are as people as well. Abraham, famous story when he was tested, for me came to mind when I was thinking about being willing and having the attitude of wanting to do what God wants you to do. And it's a famous story, you all know it, but God asked Abraham to take his son, and he said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And I'll show you which mountain it is, but I want you just to go and take your son, and I want you to sacrifice him. And so he says, okay. And they arrived at the place where God had told them to go. Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At the moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy. And I always remember that story of Abraham being willing, and it sets a good example of putting God first, loving God above everything else, as difficult as it can be sometimes. We need to be willing and have an attitude like Abraham. Secondly, obedience can change the lives of others. We're going to watch a clip now. From actually Naturally Supernatural, the camp we went to this year, it's from the talk this year, and you may have heard this story. This is Mike Pabachi. But when I was thinking about what obedience means, how obedience changes the lives of the people around us. This story just wouldn't go away, so I was trying to find it, I found it. And some of you might find it a little bit hard to listen to, but I think it's just amazing how God works. Thanks, Steve.
2 years ago, we had our Momentum, I think it was 2 years ago, our Momentum Festival, and for 20-somethings, odd. And towards the end of the worship, this thought came into my head. There's someone here who's having an affair with a pastor in their church. And immediately I was like, no way. No. We're not going there. And I started saying to the Lord, I'm not giving that word out. I said, first of all, it goes against our values. Can you believe I actually said to the Lord I wasn't going to obey him because it went against our values? How I'm still alive, I do not know. But I remember saying it. It goes against our values. We don't give negative words. It's to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. That's what it says. Have you read the book? You know? And then I said, and anyway, who's going to respond to a word like that? And how am I supposed to say it? You know, there's someone here, you're having an affair with a pastor in your church. Would you like to come forward now? How am I supposed to do that? And so I was deciding, I can't give it. And you know what? Then the Lord said to me, it's not my judgment, Mike, it's my mercy. And for a moment, I don't know how many seconds it was. I don't know, I can't tell you, but it's like he opened a window in my heart on his compassion, and I just wanted to die. I was like, oh, I just felt something of the pain in his heart for this person. And it was like, okay. So I got up and I said, I think, forgive me if this is wrong, but I think there's someone here. You're having an affair with a pastor in your church, and this isn't his judgment, it's his mercy. He wants to rescue you. He loves you. He wants to set you free. He wants to get you to a place where you can repent. And I said, if you can, at any time during this meeting, my friend Ali, who's there, she's going to be standing at the side of the stage. Just go and whisper to her, it's you. Or go to her at the end. Or maybe tomorrow, go to the chat room and tell someone. At the end of that meeting, this young lady, you may be here, I don't know. This young lady, 19 years old, she went up to Ali and she was crying and she said, it's me. She said, I'm having an affair with the youth pastor in our church and he's married with 3 children. And she said, I feel so ashamed and I feel so broken and I've tried to get out of it, but he keeps telling me that I can't get, that we mustn't stop, that it's right. And I just don't know what to do. I can't get out of the affair and I can't tell anyone because I'm so full of shame. And she said, I nearly didn't come to this. And then she said this, and when it was relayed back to me, it nearly killed me. She said, as I was driving here to Momentum, I said, while I was in the car, I said to God, God, I can't tell anyone about this. I'm too ashamed. If you want me out of this relationship, you're going to have to tell someone on the stage about me. Our friends, Richard and Prue Bedwell, met with her and prayed with her for the next 3 days. She's out of that relationship. Her life was turned around. And all we could think of is, Jesus, how kind you are. Father, how wonderful you are. How amazing you are. How amazing you are.
Oh, challenging, isn't it? I've heard the story a few times now, and it just gets me every time. And just, I'm not trying to kind of pull Mike Pavacci up, but just imagine if he didn't step out and be obedient to what God had done. And because he was obedient, lives were changed. That girl's life was changed. Don't think we'll ever quite get a grasp around how important and how powerful obedience is. think sometimes as well, when we're obedient, we can be quite selfish. I think when God's told us to do something, and I know certainly in my life, I think about how it affects me when, instead of how it affects the people around me as well. In times when God asks us to do something, he'll never leave us. He will never leave us. When he asked Moses to go to Pharaoh to say, let his people free, he said to Moses, I will be with you and I will walk with you. When Noah was building the ark, I'm sure a lot of people have thought he was absolutely crazy. And actually, obedience can be quite lonely sometimes. Certainly when you've possibly, when God's asked you to do something and the people around you don't quite understand, it can leave you in quite a lonely situation. It can leave you in a really difficult situation. And I know it's a journey I'm on. I believe the fear of man can compromise obedience to God. I really believe it. And when I have to make decisions, and when I have done in the past, the first thing I thought about is, are they going to be offended? What are they going to think of me? What are their attitudes going to be towards me? And I need to be more secure in God. I need my identity to be more secure in God. And hopefully that become easier. We need to realise that when God's asked us to do something, he will always walk with us. You won't be alone. It might seem it sometimes, but you won't be alone. God is so for us. He's not against us. And we sing it and we say it until we believe it. It's one of the things we sing and we say. But I know certainly sometimes in my life I feel a little bit like, God, where are you and everything? He's so for us. He's not against us. We can see amazing blessings from being obedient to God. Psalm 128, blessed are all those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. You can just see sometimes in ministries when God's just got his hands on it. You know, Paul, I'm sure, could stand up this morning and could tell you amazing stories and testimonies of how God's provided for the ark. Because I believe Paul and the building team have been obedient to what his calling has been, and he's blessed that project. And Paul could stand here all morning and give you testimony after testimony after testimony how God has been amazing in that situation. And I believe you see it certainly in missionaries' lives, Martin and Judy and Rezzy and my dad. God's just got the hand upon them, and he's just blessing them abundantly. And you can see it from the work they're doing, and for all they're doing. You can just see the hand upon it and how much God's blessing them, because they've been obedient when God said, go, go. A few years ago, I was on a gap year in London, and after my gap year in London, I was looking for a job in a church. This was before I started working for High Street, and I won't go into details of how it came up, but an interesting job came up as a worship director position in Luxembourg. It was very random, and it was something that came up because of the links I made in London. That's how it kind of brought to us. And when I applied for it, Jess and I, kind of boyfriend, girlfriend, we weren't engaged at that point, but when the interview process started, we were engaged, and there was five steps to this interview process for this job. And I managed to get to the third and fourth. The third and fourth were together, and it was a weekend at Luxembourg, so I flew over. Not many people knew about it, because we wanted to keep it between us. We had a group of people praying for us, and we flew over to Luxembourg, and we had a group of people praying for us. And the one thing we said to the group of people was, we would love discernment out of anything. We really want God. We want to come away knowing whether it's right or wrong. We want discernment. And the weekend at Luxembourg, we arrived there on the Saturday, and I had to do a few kind of worship things, and I had to speak to the leadership, and it was quite a full-on day. And by the end of it, I kind of felt in my heart, you know, that kind of thing that just didn't feel right. And Jess and I spoke about it, and we thought we'll leave it to Sunday, because we were going to go see the church on Sunday, we have a better idea. And after the Sunday service, Jess turned to me and said, "This isn't right, is it?" And I said, "No." And one way I was grateful that God answered our prayer, and because we asked for discernment and we got it, we definitely got it. But we had a decision there to be obedient to God. I'm not trying to boast my own trumpets. They offered me the fifth position, and I had to turn around and say to them, "I'm really sorry, but I've got to pull out of this process." And I'm so pleased we're obedient to him in that moment of time, that we didn't just go for it, because it's just amazing how God's, yeah, it's just amazing. And I'm so, so grateful. God loves to bless us. He wants to bless us. And when we're obedient to him, he will bless us. I'm excited for 2018. Like I said at the start, I think it's going to be a really, really good year for us as a church. I'm really, really excited. And this isn't just about the eldership being obedient. This is about all of us as a church being obedient. It's a, like Jess said, we're united, we're one body, and we need to be obedient people. I do believe if our attitude is in the right place and we're willing to God, if we understand how much obedience can change the lives of others, we understand how much God is for us, and we understand the blessings we can receive from obedience, I believe we'll see amazing things happen in 2018. I really do believe so. And I'm finished. Should we stand, and I'm going to pray.
Just before George started to preach, I had a picture of two houses. And one house was built on self-will. And this house was built where the person wanted it to be built, in the design they wanted it to be built, at a time they wanted it to be built. But it was dry. And the people in the house, their spirits withered. And there was another house that was built by the river. And with all intentions, you would never have built a house by the river. There were predators there. It wasn't a safe place. But that's exactly where God wanted them to build the house, because their spirits would be refreshed and God would use them and prosper them by the river. And as George brings this challenge, I see a picture of two houses. One possibly even in a dangerous place, but it's where God wants us. And ultimately, it's the safest place. And another house that's built from self-will, that in many realities looks like the most sensible place to build it. But it's the driest, most shriveled place where our spirits will shrivel and we won't prosper. Lord, I just want to challenge myself, as George has challenged himself, to choose today where we would build our house. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Martin. We could do a ministry time, and we could say, you know, these groups of people would be really good to pray for, but actually, I hope that actually all of us would want to be obedient to God in the new year. So that's why we're all standing. And they're saying that there are just a couple of people that I just felt, if you're fit into the category of that, and a group of people that I'm just about to say, please come and see myself or one of the elders, because we'd love to pray for you. I felt, of course, it's bound to happen. It's not a big thing, but those that have possibly ignored the calling, God's asked you to do something, you've ignored it, and it's really hurt you, and actually you regret it. And for those that actually have been obedient, and a bit like the story I said about TK Maxx, it's kind of really kind of damaged your faith a bit. You haven't seen the fruit from it, and you're concerned. We'd love to pray for you. If that's you, come and see one of us at the end, because we'd love to pray for you. But right now, if you want to be obedient, should we just put our hands out and let's just pray? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this year. Lord, I want to thank you for the ways you've blessed us as a church. Lord, I want to thank you for the way you're moving in people's lives. And Lord, I pray as we move in 2018, we'll be obedient people to you. Lord, I pray if you tell us to go, we'll go. If you tell us to give a word of knowledge or you want us to pray for someone, Lord, may we do it. May we be obedient to you. Lord, our prayer this morning is, here we are, use us, Lord, in 2018. We want to see amazing things happen, salvations, people coming off the street that have never been in church before, healed and saved. Lord, we're so hungry for it. We want to see it happen. Lord, may we be just obedient to you in everything that you say. Amen.
I'm really grateful for this. Jess picked up on the spirit of unity. George referred to that again. I want to say as a church leader, how grateful, how profoundly grateful. Mal and I commented that over the years there's been some painful times. But the spirit of unity, of oneness, not that we all have to agree on everything, but a desire to be one, is the most precious gift that we can have as a church. Do you know what I felt God say to me when I was thinking, I wonder if George will give me an opportunity, and he has, is I think it's Psalm 133 begins with these words, where brothers dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. Lord, would you increase it this year? And would you help us to guard that unity, that others that don't know you that will love to be a part of this family. Amen. Amen. Tea and coffee coming up.